This episode is supported by The Kardashians, now streaming exclusively on Disney+. The cameras return to document Hollywood's most infamous family, inviting viewers back into their lives for a fifth season. Watch Kris, Courtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie as they navigate motherhood, co-parenting, and growing their empires. This season, the Kardashian-Jenner family is focused on staying connected despite busy schedules and the tensions of fame. Tune in for unfiltered access to fresh drama with exes, sibling rivalry, and intense business ventures. And when you watch, you'll see what's actually happening behind the scenes and beyond the headlines. See for yourself how things really went down. Season 5 has more family, more glamour, and more access than ever before. This family always keeps things interesting. New season of The Kardashians, now streaming exclusively on Disney+.
You know we love any excuse to watch great reality TV. So with the weather heating up, while chartering a luxury yacht might be a little out of reach, we can still get our fix by binge-watching all seasons and spin-offs of Below Deck, available on Hayu.
The first all-reality subscription service of its kind, Hayu gives you access to every episode and every season of a wide range of captivating reality TV franchises. Plus, you can watch brand new episodes available the same day they air in the U.S. without ads. It's pretty awesome.
And if you're looking for a new series to dive into, Below Deck is the perfect choice. Tune in for a fresh yachty drama on brand new episodes of Below Deck Mediterranean, airing now. And once you're hooked, revisit classic seasons of all the franchises, including Below Deck Sailing Yacht, Adventure, and Down Under, all available on Hayu.
You know that we've watched every single episode of Below Deck. We have not only watched them, we've talked about them endlessly. We obsess over them.
Below Deck is so good, and it is such an amazing source of petty, petty drama. If you're not watching it, you're really missing out.
Slide into summer with Below Deck. New episodes airing now.
Watch all seasons and spinoffs of Below Deck on Hayu. That's HAYU.com.
What happens now?
What happens now?
How will I cope?
How will I cope?
Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer to people you know. You just want to talk to someone who knows how you feel. That's why I joined the Macmillan online community. We know what it's like because we're living with cancer too. And whatever's on your mind, we're here to help. To join us, search Macmillan online community.
Hi everyone, welcome back. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're wondering where part one was, well, go check in the feed and be sure to subscribe. Andy's like, Carl, why did it take you so long to open up to Kyle about the extent of your issues with Lindsay? Now you've watched it back and seen that she was very open with the girls. Basically, he's like, she was talking shit about you all summer. Why did it take you so long to talk shit about her? And he's like, well, I mean, yeah, like looking back, like, but in the moment, like, you know, I think the couples in the house can like really relate to like trying to protect things and like trying not to like get all crazy in the house. And like, you know, like I know with like Kyle in the past, like I've shared things and unfortunately, like not a fault of his, but like it's gotten out. So sort of a fault of his, but like not a fault of his. I don't want to put him on the spot. He's a great guy. Wish I could make him my groomsman, but like kind of his fault. And then that caused tension between Lindsay and I.
Yeah, I didn't see this season. That Carl didn't express to anybody what was going on with him. Carl has been victimizing himself this entire season, so I'm not really sure where that point of view comes from. So Kyle's like, look, you know, like, I could tell they were sugarcoating things on the previous season, you know. And
congratulations.
A lot of people could tell they were sugarcoating things. And Amanda's like, yeah. And once you say that out loud, it becomes very real. So sometimes it's just better to, you know, live in denial, Andy.
Or New Jersey, Kyle. So Andy's like, he's basically like, so, you know, last summer was tough on you. Like, Lindsay and Kyle, like, where do you guys stand now? And she's like, I thought we're good. And he's like, yeah, we've always been able to bounce back. Like, even after she cuts Amanda out of photos of the group. And we call each other out. And my biggest challenge is, you know, honesty versus dishonesty, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, honesty versus dishonesty? Like, in terms of what? Like, she's basically saying, like, yeah, she's been lying.
And she's like, well, what are you talking about?
And he said, you festered all these nasty lies. And she goes, what? And he goes, okay, well, who set the paparazzi up outside the apartment when he walked out? She's like, I had to stay inside for 2 weeks because there was paparazzi out there. Why would I do that?
Well, and he's like, well, the only person that knew what happened. And he's like, oh, you weren't there that day. And I went to go get my stuff and the paparazzi was there. Can you even believe it? She's like, I don't have paparazzi information. It's not like I worked in PR for several years and know exactly who the paparazzi are. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this is silly because, of course, she could have. But then Kyle is also fishy because he's like, oh, yeah, then the only person that knew what was going on was you. No, you were too, actually, as I recall, sir. And you also wanted a little bit of revenge for the paparazzi being called or the article being written at your wedding about somebody, as I recall, which is really so weird, Kyle.
Carl is upset that he believes Lindsay called photographers over to his house as revenge when he was the one who initially called cameras over
exactly
to watch him dump her on TV.
Exactly.
So. Okay, got it.
So
got it.
Now, do I believe that Lindsay would do this? Of course. I believe Lindsay probably calls a paparazzi every day.
She 100%.
Of course.
Yes.
But do I believe it's crazy in this world? No, they all fucking do this. Of course they do. Of course they do. Why else would they ever be in the news? Who cares about this? Who cares about these people?
Also, wait, is Carl saying, like, he went to their apartment to get his stuff? And the paparazzi were there. Does he not understand how tabloid scandals work? Does he not understand that, like, when you break up with someone and it gets leaked to the news, the paparazzi will be there? They don't have to be called by anyone. They're just waiting for you because you're in the middle of a scandal.
Yes. And the fact that he's like, but they only came when you were gone. That's why it's fishy. Okay. But then they stayed there for 2 weeks while she was there. So why couldn't she just call them off if they were... It's just whatever. Okay, so... The paparazzi were there. So then Gabby's like, well, we were upstairs. And Amanda goes, oh, my God. Like, no one takes photos of any of us. Give me a break, you guys. Like, literally, who cares? Really? Because I think Lindsay's been on the cover of People like 5 times this year. Could you give me a fucking break with that? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Although I did just say who cares about these losers. I do believe they all call the paparazzi on themselves.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm sure there's someone in the building. I'm sure there's someone on the street. And during this time, we got like text messages being like, oh my God, I'm in the Pittsburgh airport. Here's Carl. Like everyone was sending, anytime these people were seen anywhere, people were sending the news out. So it's like, it's not wild. So then Andy's like, oh, I want to talk about this later. Okay. Carl, I see you're back at Loverboy now. How's that going? And he's like, this is so dumb. So Carl says, this is where I cracked up. I lost it. Carl says, oh, it's going good. I'm not full time, which is what we talked about. Carl. Carl Radke. The entire basis of this multi-week fight that seemed to precipitate the end of your relationship is that you haven't figured out your career and that going back to Loverboy was maybe not the best idea and that you're not standing up for yourself on with the parameters of this job. And like, do you have a game plan for launching your career or a job that could potentially support a family? He's like, I want to go back to Loverboy. It's like, oh yeah, I'm just working part-time, which, what? How could you do this to me? What's going on? Like, this is, of course he's not working. Of course he doesn't have a full-time job. He went back to the safety net and still doesn't even have a full-time job. He got taken, I won't even say he got taken advantage of, because I don't think he got taken advantage of, but like, he made it seem like he was calling all the shots. He's going to go back to Loverboy, but he's going to call all the shots. He wants a full-time job. He wants this and that. Oh, yeah, I'm just working full-time. I didn't really get what I asked for. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I mean, of course Lindsay's exasperated. This is exactly what we anticipated would happen.
Oh, Carl. So if they're still together, would Carl still be a Loverboy? And Carl's like, oh, questionable. I don't know, because evil Lindsay might stop Carl from working at Loverboy. Did you not watch the last season? Carl was the one who wanted to get out of Loverboy. He talked about you emotionally abusing him. And then you did. Then you showed up on TV and said he was outed to everybody that he was showing up on coke to work and all of that other shit that happened last season. But now everything is Lindsay's fault. So she's like, oh, my God. This part I like, too. because it proves that Kyle's a big fat fucking liar too. She goes, oh, come on. We went and played tennis over the summer and you even said, hey, I'm probably going to, you know, try to hire Carl back and work on the non-elk, which if I never hear non-elk again.
I know.
And what did I say? I said, great. That's amazing. Sierra was there and heard it. And then Gabby was there and he goes, well, then why would you question him and not me? She goes, I said, it's amazing. I hope you do, because I would love for him to have a job.
And by the way, I also want to point out that Carl describing what he's doing in Ed Loverboy is that he said, well, y'all, being part-time gives me the opportunity to focus on other things because that way I can start small, build it. And, you know, it's been going really well. That means
nothing.
It literally means nothing.
You've made a website that means, with AI.
That's just bullshit. That is a line.
You've made
bullshit.
A website with so anyway. AI descriptions that say nothing. It's a fucking word salad, okay? It needs ranch. Like, it's literally word salad.
So then we find out that on top of everything else, like, that Lindsay was fine as long as it meant that Carl had a job. Which, by the way, again, turns out he only gets a part-time job out of this.
And not only was she okay with it, Kyle told her about it, and she not only said she was okay with it, she said, thank you, Kyle. Like, she wanted it to happen. So Andy's like, okay, well, one of your main issues was career status, so now what do you think about this? And she goes, if this is what makes him happy and he wants to do it, then great. And he's like, well, you know what I thought about you leaving Loverboy the first time? You know, everybody was asking if it was Lindsay that encouraged you to leave. And to his credit, he's like, no, I wanted to leave. Lindsay was actually supportive to me and I was venting to her like most partners do. But she was just trying to make me make a better decision. And I, on my own, told Kyle I needed to take a step back. No, you didn't do it on your own. You bitched to Lindsay and she gave you advice. And then you turned it around and made it seem like Lindsay made you do it and you had to do it for your relationship. You're still doing it right now. Why do you think all the questions are, why is evil Lindsay keeping you from working at Loverboy? And thank God Carl's finally working again now that Lindsay has stopped blocking his way.
And don't forget that Kyle was like, look, just give me a business plan or give me a proposal of what you would like your role to be. And then he like spent 4 months not sending him anything and just resenting Kyle for making him work. So Kyle says that he thinks that like him stepping away was good. He goes, and the iron is, I was already trying to work on non-elk. And I remember him being like, all right, let's get you out of this current role and let's not lose sight of this other opportunity. But we could have launched it a lot faster. So basically, Kyle very politely is being like, yeah, if Carl had not been so wishy-washy about everything, we probably could have done this a lot sooner and a lot more successfully.
Why do you need Carl to launch non-elk? I just don't understand that. I think they realized when Carl left that that Carl had a point, because Kyle was sitting at home and they were sending Carl's out for sales, but Carl was really going to influencer events, right? Where you show up, the fans show up and they buy Loverboy because they're there to take a picture with you. And so without Carl there, their sales started to tank or whatever. So he's like, we need someone from the show out there selling this stuff. I guess that's what I'm getting from it. But because otherwise, what is Carl doing?
I don't know what is part-time. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being a part-timer. It just being in the context of that whole discussion about like getting a job and finding a path and be like, yo, I'm just going to do part-time work and build a website. So Andy is like, so in the future, will Kyle be a groomsman? He's like, 100%, 25%. I don't know. It takes two to come up with a percentage, so we're gonna put a pin on that. Huh.
Okay, so now they're on break, and Andy's like, wow, while the men were spooning, the girls were forking a new path. Get it? Everybody get that? They were forking.
Doesn't make any sense.
I mean, there's a fork in the road, I get it, but you don't fork a road. It's already forked. And also, that's like NBC speak for fucking on that Kristen Bell show.
Yeah.
I disapprove.
I think that it was some wordplay with the word forge, but it was a stretch. Anyway, it's like the girl power segment when the girls are all getting along, you know? So, Clorox from Wipes says It was really refreshing to see all the girls get along this season. What do you attribute all that love to? And Paige, why are you laughing and pointing at Lindsay's face? So Amanda says, well, we don't want to go in the summer fighting with each other all the time. We're mature and are looking at houses in New Jersey.
So Danielle, Scooby from Dew, wants to know if you're rekindling your friendship with Lindsay was genuine or if it was just a coincidence because her engagement fell apart and she needed someone.
And Lindsay's like, what the fuck kind of question is
I know. That was ridiculous. Like,
I'm going to finally have one season where I go to a reunion and people are nice to me because I've just been through it. And still everybody's like, so, Lindsay, how do you feel about being at fault for Carl dumping you? Hey, Lindsay, how do you feel for the fact that you stopped Carl from working all these years and now Carl's finally able to work because you're not terrorizing him anymore? Hey, Lindsay, your best friend who totally fucked you last summer, do you think that Lindsay's just using you by being nice to you? She's like, Jesus Christ, can I get one decent question that's not fucking me in the ass?
Yeah. So Andy's like, yeah, well, it seemed like you guys had, like, the friendship was over last year. What'd you guys do? And so Danielle's like, well, we took your advice, unlike me with my own app. Look at this outfit. And, you know, we met up off camera and just like, we rehashed everything over and over again. Yeah. So they kind of like, they kind of worked on it, you know, off camera and everything. And then it got better and better over the summer, et cetera. And he's like, ah, that's great. Kyle, you've known Lindsay for a long time. Was her connection with the woman genuine and natural? Because, I mean, look, it's Lindsay. She's a monster. Am I right?
Well, you know, Andy, so he's like, yeah. I think at first it looked like it was good, but it's like Carl said, like, of course, Lindsay's getting along with everybody but me. So basically, Lindsay was just being nice to the girls so they could all team up against poor, poor, innocent victim Carl, who's never done anything to anybody. Lindsay was only pretending to be nice to girls so she could fuck over Carl, Andy. That's the answer.
Yeah, and Lindsay says, no, it was like really good that, you know, those she had like a support system over the summer. All right. Well, Furiosa from Road. I guess it'd be Fury from Road. I don't know. Anyway, she says, Lindsay, I love that you posted a photo of yourself with every single girl in the house right after you and Carl broke up. Be real. Were you trying to make it clear that the ladies were all Team Lindsay or what? What sort of question is that? Of course it was. And why would it be so bad? So what would be so bad about her deciding to have... She just got dumped. Like her dream of a family that she'd been clinging on to, despite everyone being like, this is not the wagon you should hitch on to, or the horse you should hitch your wagon to. She just got dumped. She is allowed to take a petty-ass photo at dinner. Yeah.
And so she's like, well, I mean, I didn't really do that. Our schedules just lined up. And so we went to dinner at that perfect time. And Amanda's like, well, it's just really annoying because there was an article that came out right after. And it's like, I thought we were just going to dinner together. Oh, okay. So you thought all the girls meeting up to go to dinner when Lindsay's on the cover of People magazine about us. Like, okay, I get what they're saying. Like, here we are, we're out to hang out, and then Lindsay's trying to make this PR thing, like, we're the girls of Vanderpump Rules, and we're all coming together, and we're all Team Lindsay, and fuck the guy. Well, we basically still like the guy. Like, we're not going to do that to Carl. We're friends with Carl, too. So I actually do get this. And I kind of felt for Lindsay a little bit because I know that Lindsay, of course, would want all the girls to be like, oh, my God, we're girls. Let's rally. But Lindsay hasn't really earned that with the girls, you know, and I stick up for Lindsay a lot in this Carl stuff. But with the girl stuff, Lindsay has not earned that from the girls. She was really shitty to Amanda in the beginning. She was shitty to Paige in the beginning, which is why Paige is going to just scorch the earth with her ass every single season. Paige is never going to forget. And Lindsay hasn't really earned that with the girls. So I think she's going to have to just like,
I think she has. Oddly enough, I think she has because we saw the end of the season finale. They all rallied around her. They gave her a big group hug. They did all that stuff. And I feel like probably what happened was that Carl probably got into some people's ears. It was like, no, like, you want to hear the full story? It was like, she was really
well, he did. Blah, 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 blah. We find out. Yeah.
He did. And so I feel like, I kind of feel bad for Lindsay that she couldn't even ride the girl power momentum that she had in that scene to one freaking dinner.
Yeah.
like it was immediately like she, I was like, I feel like she's entitled as a consolation gift. Some nice girl power moments.
I agree. I think she's entitled to it. I just, what I'm saying is the fact that the girls immediately turned, the second that Carl told them anything and they were like, oh, well, the reason they turned so quickly is because they would believe it coming from Lindsay. You know what I mean? Because they didn't, there wasn't the groundwork there. So, I mean, I think you've got to kind of lay that groundwork before you can just expect blind loyalty. Now, I do think the girls are kind of nitpicking on this, like, oh, and then you posted a picture to make it look like we were on your side. That seems mean to me, to be like, how dare you try and act like we were on your
side? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It seems kind of cold, you know?
Let her have her photo, for crying out loud. You guys know who Lindsay is. You took a photo with her. You're doing this whole thing, like, you know, I think... whatever. So Kyle, Lindsay's like,
well, it's just hard to agree because I keep changing my mind every 2 minutes. I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, but then I feel like this is a really important point. Let's talk about this for 90 minutes, please.
Oh, hug me tighter. So, it's like, yeah. So basically they're all in a tizzy about this photo that just says girls rule, boys drool. And Lindsay's like, it was just a silly caption that was like pre-approved by People Magazine. And Kyle's like, Lindsay, just own it. Like, it's like, are you really going to go hard in the paint over the stupid photo
and
right now?
What? You're all reality stars. I love that you guys are like,
yeah.
How dare you get us into Page Six? How dare you? Page Six, I would never want the publicity. I'm on a reality show. And then they continue to go on and talk about everything that happened during BravoCon, which is just like a huge spawn con for them to jerk off all over each other. Give me a fucking break, weirdos.
Yeah. Paige was very upset. She says, like, you know, well, at the time it looked like we were like, fuck Carl, and which we definitely weren't like that. Like, I literally would never want to fuck Carl. Like, disgusting, gross, awful.
Gabby, what was your motivation for forcing Paige and Lindsay to talk earlier? And she's like, because it's, like, stupid. Like, we're adults. They should, like, talk. And Paige is like, yeah. Okay, so then we find out why Paige has come in as reunion Paige. She's like, well, I will say that I did feel like Lindsay and I were really cool this summer, you know, because at some point you just have to say old people can't help it. And, you know, when you see a blanket on a chair, you should try and offer it to the old person, you know, or for example, if you see an old person crossing in the crosswalk, just put a blanket on them and say, I'm sorry, old person.
You know, when you see an old person, you have to assume that maybe they were just on public transport and someone did not give them their special seat. And they could be cranky that day because of it.
So, like,
and I've learned.
Yeah, I learned. But then we were actually in Vegas for BravoCon. Really hate publicity or being in Page Six, by the way. Please don't take my picture right now on national television. Nobody screenshot this. And I found out that over the summer, I had this photo shoot that was at an establishment that one of Lindsay's friends worked at. And they called each other on the phone to try and figure out how to sabotage a photo shoot. Sabotage the photo shoot? What the fuck does that even mean? Did you have the photo shoot?
Was there gonna be like a bucket of pig's blood?
Did you have the photo shoot? Yes, then it wasn't sabotaged. And if Lindsay had a friend and it was at her establishment and they wanted to sabotage it, the lady would have said, sorry, we can't have this. What the fuck are you talking about? I'm gonna need more details than just a random, she tried to sabotage my photo event. And then it becomes even more ridiculous because guess where she heard this? Carl, of course, who heard her on speakerphone.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing that's so, like, it's a stupid thing, especially if it happened over the summer when who knows where Lindsay and Paige were at then at that point. I guess Paige says it was in the middle of summer, so they were already in good terms. But yeah, she says she heard it from Carl. And I'm like, why would you ever put any grains of salt into something Carl would say that's disparaging about Lindsay, knowing, like, whether you're on, regardless of whose side you're on, you know he's motivated to make Lindsay appear in the worst light.
Right.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge. and also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, the competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
I'm Elena, an autopsy technician.
And I'm Ash, a hairstylist.
And we just love swapping stories about all of the morbid things that fascinate us.
And if you do too, join us on our podcast, Morbid. It's a safe space to let your weirdo flag fly.
On Morbid, we cover dark historical events, sinister science, unnerving paranormal events, and sordid high society murders.
We also dive deep into the most notorious crimes in history.
Our podcast is grounded in rigorous and painstaking research. We're also not afraid to read a bitch.
Yeah. We keep it weird because a dash of snark is necessary to get through grotesque true tales of demented minds.
So follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Morbid early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And so Lindsay goes, what? And she's like, yeah, in the middle of the summer. And she goes, so wait, you're saying that my friend tried to sabotage your photo shoot? She goes, you both did. You talked on the phone, on speakerphone. And she goes, I didn't even know you had a photo shoot. And she's like, uh-huh. Carl told me. Actually, he told me on the day of my birthday in Las Vegas.
Also known as the birthday. The day of my birthday. She's been hanging out with Craig for too long. It happened. The day of my birthday at my birth. And I was distraught.
Oh.
And she goes, I couldn't even go to my birthday. I was so upset to think that my photo shoot, which of course turned out beautifully. I mean, I looked fantastic, but it could have been awful. Like to think that you could have had an awful photo shoot, that's enough to ruin anyone's day.
She tried to sabotage my Amazon Live. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me. And I'm sure Paige was just in her hotel room at BravoCon, unable to move because she was just so upset that Lindsay talked shit about her on the phone. Give me a fucking break. If Lindsay knows someone that you're about to do a photo shoot at her place and Lindsay's talking shit about you doing a photo shoot, how is that any different than you getting on the phone and talking shit about Lindsay every fucking day, which you know you do? Give me a break. Are we not allowed yeah. to talk shit about each other anymore? Come on.
Yeah. So Andy's like, Andy turns to Carl, who started this firestorm. And then he's like, so you knew about this? And now Paige is, you know, like Paige is basically going after, like Paige has been, you know, she took what Carl said and she's ridden with it. And she's risking potentially looking like an asshole on this reunion, theoretically. Because if the audience is really behind Lindsay, then Paige could look like an asshole. Paige has decided, I don't care. My photo shoot may have been sabotage, and Carl told me about it. So Andy's like, you knew about this? Instead of Carl saying like, yeah, I did know about it, and it is true, and this is what happened. He's like, well, I heard Lindsay and her friend on the phone, and they were talking about like, wow, I can't believe she would want to do this at my place. Like, she doesn't know Lindsay and I are friends. I'm like, I don't know. It's just like weird. It's like, really, Carl, that's all you have? That's all you have to support it is overhearing one side of a conversation of people just kind of like, you're like, wow, I can't believe she's doing the photo shoot in my place.
That's so he's saying what he heard her say is, oh my God, so Paige wants to do a thing at my place. Does she know that we're friends? Because she hates you, right? Why would she want to do a photo shoot in my place? How is that her trying to sabotage anything? That's this lady being like, wow, Paige is going to come do a photo shoot even though she hates your ass. This is a week. So Lindsay's like, well, yeah. I didn't say it. Sorry. I mean, I don't know what my friend could have said. And she goes, oh, okay. So you don't recollect the entire phone call? And she's like, no, I would tell you. She goes, okay. And she goes, well, sorry that Carl lied again. And she's like, but that's why I said you two are similar. Because you both like physically do things to come for me, you and Danielle. And Danielle's like, what? And Danielle's like, oh, so now this is me too. I sabotage your photo shoot. And she goes, you wrote the whole article about us.
She's like, I didn't write any article. You mean the one about Craig? And we see this is an article that that came out that Craig was kicked out of Kyle and Amanda's wedding. Sources claim. And because this was actually part of the plot, because earlier in the season, Lindsay was told Paige, like, I didn't plant that article. Danielle did it. So Danielle's like, well, I just confirmed that what was already true. I wasn't like leaking anything. I was just confirming.
And Danielle's like, be a woman and come to me when she throws me under the bus. Be a woman. Okay. So now Lindsay's going to be in trouble because she finally admitted that it was never her who did it. It was Danielle the whole time. And now Lindsay's still an asshole because she tattled on Danielle, who let Lindsay totally get excoriated for this last year and never stood up and admitted.
And didn't tell Danielle that she tattled on her. Didn't give her heads up.
Paige.
And Paige's like,
oh, didn't tell. You're right. Didn't tell. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. So Danielle's like, because, you know, Paige, you held a grudge the entire summer and I had no idea. She goes, I'm not holding a grudge. I just think that you're disgusting. And Andy's like, but Danielle, you did leak. She's like, yes, I did. And Paige's like, and I didn't care that you said that. Danielle's like, well, but all that shit you talked about me was because there was some underlying tension, you know?
And Kyle's like, I thought she got over it pretty quick, actually. And Paige is like, I didn't talk shit about you. She goes, uh-huh, you did. You did. Okay, you really didn't talk shit about me? Okay. Should we do shots? We should probably do shots. We're going to party? I mean, Paige is lying. Are we going to party? We're going to party, right?
This is such a weird, convoluted thing. Paige is like, fuck you, Danielle. You leaked that article that I don't care about, but you leaked it. And I wasn't mad about you all summer for it, but I'm mad that you leaked it. it doesn't make sense. But Danielle's like, no, I didn't leak it. I just confirmed. I just spoke to someone off the record and said, this is what happened. It was just a confirmation. It wasn't me giving information to an article.
So Danielle's like, oh, so you're not mad, really? Because it seems like you're mad. And she's like, no, I didn't bring it up because your opinion of me and my boyfriend is irrelevant. And Kyle and Amanda are whispering, and Kyle's like, he hasn't denied it, huh? She hasn't really denied it. And Amanda's like, yeah, exactly.
So now Danielle's like, you know what? You come after who I am, and then you try to come after my company.
What
also.
Company?
Like, come on,
Paige.
What company? What are you talking about?
You know what? Your confessionals, you think they're like super funny.
They are literally hilarious.
They're like, honestly, like very, very funny. Like they've actually been nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Comedy Short.
Last time I had to redo my confessional because literally the theme music to Cheers started playing in the middle of it. It's hilarious.
Oh, hold on a second. I just won a Grammy for Best Comedy Album. Under 30 seconds, and that would be for my confessional.
I have one more thing to say to you, ma'am.
Next season.
Do. Thank you.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Oh, sorry, Danielle. That doesn't include you.
Literally nobody. I'm sorry. What company was your...
No one knows your name.
What company was your company name? No.
Exactly. When Danielle walks into Cheers, everyone just goes, no.
Booze. Your bar would be called Booze. So Andy's like, okay, do you cop the leaking to Dumois that Craig got kicked out of Kyle's wedding? Did Craig get kicked out of Kyle's wedding? I don't remember what the ending to this was. Was Craig so embarrassingly drunk that he got kicked out? Because we have seen on this show Craig being embarrassingly drunk multiple times.
That's what I'm whipping myself up into a frenzy all of a sudden right now about. It's like, oh, is this like the implication is that like Craig's otherwise stellar image of being a docile drunk has been ruined by this article? Do you realize there's been like 9 seasons, 10 years worth of Craig's behavior documented on TV? That's far more embarrassing than this article. If anything, this article improves his reputation. It shows that he can actually be invited to a wedding.
Yeah, what the hell? So then Andy's like, do you cop to that? And Danielle's like, yes. And I would have said that to her face had she come to me over the summer, but she didn't. So I couldn't even confess to her face because I had lied to her already. And then I didn't even get the chance to confess to her face because she's a bitch. Like, what the hell kind of world is this?
That makes
and
no sense
also,
either.
doesn't this make anybody else think, okay, well, who would have called the paparazzi after the breakup with Lindsay and Carl? Everybody is like, well, who wouldn't have known about it? Danielle knew about it, and she's the one calling the paps. So why isn't anyone blaming
her? Well, and Andy's like, and well, Danielle, her whole thing is like, well, why didn't you, if you had an issue with me in this article, why don't you say something to me? And Andy's like, well, she did say it at the reunion. And then we see the flashback of Paige accusing Lindsay and Carl of planting this article. And Danielle's just sitting there like, hmm. Like, doesn't even like jump in to say, actually, it was me. And so Danielle's like, well, and he's like, so you leaked it, Danielle? She's like, well, I confirmed it. I confirmed it. Did you apologize to Paige? Paige's like, no.
She's like, well, over the summer, like, how am I going to apologize? I didn't even know the conversation happened. And he's like, okay, but Lindsay, why did you sell her out so quickly? So now we're mad at Lindsay for selling Danielle out on this whole fuck. I mean, this is just ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
That's always been their relationship. Since when has Danielle not been the one that Lindsay sells out immediately? But, like, they've never been on equal footing in their relationship.
Yeah, but no, but Lindsay was the one that Danielle sold out in the beginning. Danielle's the one who did it, and she hung Lindsay out to dry for it. That's shitty. I mean, they weren't talking at the time, but Lindsay showed what a good friend she is by not outing Danielle for it. She, like, sit there and took the abuse instead of saying, no, it was fucking Danielle who did it.
And so Lindsay's like, I just wanted to clear my name. And Kyle's like, clear your name. Give me a fucking break. No, that's literally what she was doing. She was falsely accused of planting an article. So Danielle's like, I would never do that, Paige. I would never try to clear my name by throwing someone else under the bus. I'm just not that kind of person. You literally let the bus ride right over Lindsay.
And how are you not that kind of person when you literally call Dumois to sell them a story about somebody's boyfriend that you didn't like? You are that kind. You're worse than that kind of person. You not only let someone take the fall, you caused the fall. You pushed the person down, Danielle. You caused the fall.
So don't worry. Don't worry. Danielle has an easy out here where she can talk about how sorry she is. So Andy says, do you regret leaking that story? And she goes, well, at the time, I thought it was juicy as fuck. So yeah, I was like, yeah, that happened. I was like, Danielle, at least do some sort of damage control instead of being like, yeah, I mean, it was a fucking juicy story. So of course I said it.
Also, Summer House logic and really reality TV logic. This did happen. So she's saying this did happen and nobody's arguing. Craig did get kicked out of the wedding because he was being an obnoxious fuck. But it's not about him doing that that's the problem. And nobody ever confronts Paige or says anything about Craig. It's all about who talked about it. That's some sick shit. That's right. Not cool. So Paige is like, right, and that's Andy's the kind of like, person you are. And they're hung up on who wrote the article. They're getting too technical. I don't think Danielle actually wrote an article and sent it in. She just tipped them off and they wrote the article. Like, why are they being so, like, did you actually put the paragraphs together in the article? It's going to a weird place.
I think that Danielle, like, I think Danielle could just be like, look, it happened. I was asked for a comment. I said, yeah, it did happen. Maybe I shouldn't have done that or whatever. But where Danielle gets in trouble is that she really did let Lindsay take the fall for it. And even though she and Lindsay were in a bad place, it still is a shitty thing to do. You really do sacrifice your moral high ground when you do that. So, you know, Paige is like, I don't hate Danielle. I just see her. And God, I wish I didn't have to, because look at that dress. I mean, really, it's embarrassing.
Listen, I see Danielle and she has a very, very bad hairdo right now.
You know what? I also saw Old Navy earlier this season and I really regretted it. But now I'm like, God, what I wouldn't give to have Danielle walk into that store and put something else on.
So Amanda's muttering over there still. So what other shit have they leaked? That's what I want to know.
So. So
she's
then,
so, so anyway, Dan, this, Amanda's just sitting really over there like time. This pillar of morality in everybody's relationship when she's married to fucking Kyle, like the completely respectless Kyle who called her a bitch on national TV again this year after she dared want to like make a bikini for big boobed women. The horror.
So then Andy is like, you know, she's like, well, how did you think Paige was going to react to finding all this out? And Danielle's like, well, I thought that she just wouldn't care. I mean, like, she didn't even have a conversation with me about it. She doesn't care enough about me to have a one-on-one conversation. She was unwilling to have a fight with me on camera that could have possibly made it into a trailer. Okay. So she clearly doesn't care.
I love when she goes, she doesn't even care about me enough to have a one-on-one conversation. And Paige just goes, correct.
And you're like, so Lindsay and Danielle, are you in a good spot after this convoluted argument that we've just, you know, whipped up?
And Lindsay's just like, I guess, as far as I know, we're in a good place. You know, I texted her after that episode came out and I was like, look, I was just trying to clear the air. And Amanda goes, but did you say I'm sorry? Why the fuck would she say I'm sorry? I love that Amanda always pretends that she's on Lindsay's side, but she's only on Lindsay's side when it's to make a point against somebody else, you know?
I know. She's like, because, like, she was, like, really annoyed that you never said you're sorry, and I think your version of an apology doesn't contain the words, I'm sorry. So Lindsay's like, I said I apologize. Yeah, but Danielle's like, no, but it was like, I'm sorry, but the reason why is like this. But you threw her under the, like, you
she
let.
She got a reason why.
You threw her sorry. Under the bus.
You gave her the reason why.
Yeah.
So Lindsay's like, I mean, I can literally pull up the text. I said, I apologize. She goes, but Lindsay, like, I talked to Amanda because, like, it did bother me. So, like, I did talk to her. Oh, okay. Really? You and Amanda talked, who are so against anybody talking about anybody about anything ever? Oh, okay. She goes, you know, and you said, like, you apologized, but the reason was you had to clear your name. I mean, that showed your character. That showed your character.
That she had to clear her name from the
lies that you guys told.
It wasn't the lies, but the omission. The omission.
By the way,
of truth,
where's
that you
Paige's
had
apology for falsely accusing Lindsay and going after her so hard at that last reunion? That was not an easy go. Paige ripped her a new one at that reunion for this, and she finds out she's wrong, and she doesn't have to apologize for getting it wrong or fucking anybody over or getting all of her fucking fans to rail against Lindsay all that year over something she didn't even do. Where's her fucking apology? Why aren't we still fucking asking for everybody else's? You people have made me go this hard for Lindsay fucking Hubbard. You're monsters. You're being fucking monsters right now. You're all delusional.
So now Danielle is all mad because she's like, you threw me under the bus to Paige. And Lindsay's like, I said you need to clear it with Paige. She's like, well, you should have come over to me and said, hey, I just said this to Paige, because you know what I would have done is I would have gone over to Paige. Even though you just said, why didn't Paige come over to me? And said, hey, can we just talk and clear the air? And I could have apologized. This is such
crazy.
Like, really a beyond
it is
ridiculous
insane. And Danielle even goes, because now it's becoming character assassination against me. It was character assassination last year when Lindsay was getting fucking dragged across the stage because of you the entire 3 hours. That was character assassination. Nobody's on you. Everybody, even for the shit you did, they're still mad at Lindsay. Make it make sense.
So Paige says, because there's, you know, then Danielle's like, well, I thought it was gonna be like water under the bridge. Well, Lindsay says, oh, well, I thought like with Paige, it was like water under the bridge, whatever. And she's like, it is water under the bridge. And I will have another great summer with you. But I didn't forget. Like, I know what you've done, what you've each done to me throughout the years. Like, so that was just like another tick on Danielle's list. What's not on her list is dressing nicely for a reunion, apparently.
If I might suggest like, something else well, on the list to tick, haircut. Haircut.
A mirror in your bedroom. Commercials. Here comes
one right now. Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? Follow Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
And he's like, well, there was another moment in which friendships were truly tested, because as any single gal knows, you can't deny a sexy man with a truck full of balloons.
Oh, God. Okay.
So
we go on to Balloon Guy now. And Gabby was upset because everybody was trying to get her to hook up. And she just has taste. And she doesn't understand why everybody had to pressure her into hooking up. And then we get to move on to something more interesting, which is, I can't get into drama about Balloon Guy. Like, who's going to fuck Balloon Guy? I can't believe anybody did. And I'm so sad for Danielle that she had that moment on national TV.
But I think
3 times.
I know, but I do think that Andy had a very good question. He said, Danielle, you got a lot of heat for throwing out the CEO and founder line during the argument. How is that relevant? Or how did that play into your argument? She's like, well, because I really do try to understand people and their feelings and what's going on. I'm like, that, I don't think that's what CEOs are known for.
And Bane's just like laughing. And Danielle says, well, like, I don't like, I just like, they felt like I was dismissive and not like really wanting to like, you know, talk. And Andy goes, well, you weren't not dismissive. And Gabby's like, yeah, but like, you could like totally communicate that without saying you're a CEO and founder, Danielle.
Danielle's like, has no idea how to process this. They're just all laughing. Okay, so now we come back, and at long last, it's the Sierra and West segment. So, hey, Snuggles from Laundry Softener says, hey, it was fun watching your chemistry with Sierra this summer, West. Have you ever had chemistry so strong with someone right out of the gate, especially with someone who's so incredibly out of your league? Like, have you ever looked at your league? Do you ever just sit back and look at your league and see the teams that are on it and the players and then be like, wow, imagine if there was another league that was at another level and you suddenly got invited to it. Would you ever decide you just want to sabotage that access to a whole other, better, greater league?
And West is like, I don't think I've ever had, I don't know, chemistry with, like, anyone. What the fuck is wrong with West in this reunion? Who is this person? I mean, listen, I think he charmed a lot of people in the season because he did have charm. Where is it now? Where'd it go? Is he scared? Is someone holding a gun to him off camera? What's happening with this guy?
It's lost in the lapels of his oversized blazer. So Andy's like, he's like, well, what was the moment you decided Wes might be more than just a housemate? And Sierra's like, when we start to make out. So Andy's like, well, Jesse, you're upset that the other single guy in the house. Were you upset that the other single guy in the house and the other new guy in the house seemed to kind of find someone so quickly? He's like, yeah. All right, cool. So basically the question is, why
did you call Sierra out for not having sex with Wes? Like, that was embarrassing. Why would you do that? And he's like, well, you know, I just wanted to make sure she's not, like, playing a game with my boy, you know? Because, like, he's really trying there. It's just, yeah, meanwhile, he was playing a game with me. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So Andy's like, so take me through what happened after cameras went down. So Sierra's like, well, I'll let him fucking say this because, like, she's so over. She's so mad. So here's Wes's version. He goes, I think we kept things rolling to, like, December, and, like, early December, we had a dinner about laying it all out there and, like, figuring out what we're going to do. He's like, hold on. September, October, November, you were hanging out. I'm like, yes, Andy, that's how keeping it going through December works. You go through September, October, and November. And then you get to December.
Which is, like, if you think of the timeline of the show, is it started airing in March, which means publicity would have been starting right after Christmas, right? Like, the second couple weeks of the new year, I would guess.
Maybe sometime in, like, January or February, I would say.
So, like, the last couple weeks of the new year, right? Or the what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, like, January 15th on or whatever.
Q1.
Like,
as a CEO and founder, I would say Q1.
Yes. So I'm just trying to get why it was at this time. It's like, okay, well, I'm going on a break.
Yeah, none of it makes sense.
I don't really want to take you on the break. And publicity is going to start coming out from the show, which means I'm going to start getting lots of free pousse in bars. So our time here is done. Because that's kind of always been my thing, is these guys always know they're coming on TV and they're about to get laid in bars. And they're never going to settle down until that ends. I mean, it's Austin, it's Shep, it's all these guys. They're not going to put a cork in the flow of the Vagina Express that is coming their way, you know?
No, they will not put a cork in that. Also, I just want to just say, going forward, I may get confused because nothing that Wes says makes any sense.
He doesn't?
like every single thing he said made no sense to me. Like, I'm not being, like, snarky. Like, it made no sense.
I honestly don't know if he's fucked up. He doesn't act like he's that fucked up, but he's acting so timid, and then he just doesn't seem to be able to form a sentence, and it's bizarre.
He can't really articulate what was really going on. He just sort of says these weird things. So it goes to December, and Andy's like, well, were you dating for real? And he's like, I mean, basically, yeah. It's like, basically? He's like, well, I mean, I don't think we walked around saying boyfriend, girlfriend, but I mean, basically, we hung out every day. I can't stand this. I cannot stand this. Like, you were a boyfriend.
And
You hung out every day.
Auntie asked Sierra, did you sleep together? And she's like, yeah, we went to his parents' house. We went and stayed with his brother in Chicago. We went to a wedding. So, and Lindsay's like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. And it's like, okay, so that sounds like dating. Wes is like, I mean, we didn't say, hold on, let me stick out my bottom lip for a minute. Big shrug. People take a still of this in case anybody wants to pass around a tray of vaginas to me right now. Anybody? Okay. We're not really dating, so I don't know. So Gabby's like, did you have the exclusive conversation? And he says, no, we didn't. Because you didn't have that conversation because Sierra said she didn't want to hook up with you until she felt comfortable that you weren't hooking up with a million other people and breaking her heart. So then she did start hooking up with you and you were taking her around your family. I wonder how she got the impression that you were in a relationship. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is also West has like, he's leaned so far into this whole thing of like, I'm scared of exclusivity, of commitment and the exclusive conversation that he's made of his identity now. So now it's like actually would cause him to sacrifice who he is to actually, you know, do the respectful thing and or even the quote unquote brave thing and just like commit to Sierra, who again is like, she is not like, it's not like committing to Grimace from McDonald's. It's Sierra. Like this is a prize. So, and honestly, Grimace is a prize compared to West.
So I was going to say, let's leave Grimace alone. I think Grimace is...
Grimace is a prize.
Yeah.
Grimace is a prize, okay?
I feel so anyway, like I'm West, the closest physically to Grimace. And I would like a little respect on Grimace's name.
So anyway, Andy is like, well, were you sleeping with people over the summer? And West is like, yeah. And he's like, well, but so that was lied. Still early in our relationship.
So you lied, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He goes, and I said that to Paige because Sierra and I had not had the talk. And I don't know what I thought. And he's like, so you were sleeping with other people? It's like, yeah. And Paige, did you believe Wes on the boat when he said he wasn't sleeping with other girls? And Paige is like, I unfortunately did. I also believe Danielle when she said she knew how to put together an ensemble. Still going to go there. Not going to give up this entire
The only person I refuse to believe is a comb that claims to have been through Danielle's hair today.
So Andy's like, so Sierra, did you feel like Wes was playing a game with you? And she goes, yeah, definitely. He goes, and what was the game? And she's like, oh, what do you want to say?
No, I'm just laughing. Like, what needs to be explained about the game?
Seriously, Candyland, like Texas Hold'em, like, what do you want?
You're playing Settlers of Catan. Like, we know what the game is. But anyway, Sierra's
yeah,
like,
I feel the game was like the game oh, was... you're coming into Summer House. Like, that's cool. Like, you're on a TV show. Like, you can't wait for the followers. You can't wait for the hype. Like, it's just, like, easy to attach yourself to someone. She's right. But he's also just doing an old-fashioned string you along. You're there. He doesn't have a flow of randos coming up to him yet, and it's convenience. I feel like on this, and I always say this, I'm sorry for repeating myself so much, but we literally talk about the same thing all the time. It's hard being on this show because you're really expected to just get hired and start fucking people and find relationships. And we've seen Sierra struggle just like anybody else, girl or guy, struggle on this show to find somebody at the risk of keeping your job. And it sucks. I mean, in the beginning, she was brought on by Luke, right? So she had that whole thing to deal with in her first season. And then she had, who did she have next? Austin? Which I think this woman probably in her right mind would never be interested in Austin. I'd like to think, because I really like Sierra. I'd like to think it's just, you're like, who's here? I have to like date, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's that pressure for everybody who's on this show. It's like, you're kind of using each other because we're both in the cast and we're supposed to date. I mean, look at this whole season has been about Carl and Kyle and Amanda and Lindsay's relationships, right?
Yeah. So she basically like, yeah, I think he was doing it for a clout. And it's like easier to come onto the show and latch onto someone as opposed to being out there on your own and questioning people. I'm like, that's true. But also you're like super hot. And he's like, oh, shit, I have a chance at a super hot girl for the first time ever.
Yes.
And so Andy's like, well, do you think that he was being insincere? And, you know, Wes is like, well, I think it's like a little offensive to question my sincerity. I think our relationship was what it was. She's super hot. I'm like pretty down middle of the road kind of guy. And I had a hot girl talking to me, and like, that wasn't fake. I had a boner like the whole summer, a big, big boner.
But you just proved her point, because right when the cameras went down and the DM started flooding, you didn't need her anymore. And then you were out. And he's like, but not right when the cameras went down. I mean, I did stay for like, it wasn't until publicity started coming out that I dumped her. Like, listen, it's not like, you know, right away. I waited for the DMs to flood in. You know what I mean? Come on. Have a job before you lose a job. Am I right? No offense, Carl.
No offense.
Wes was at BravoCon, was he not?
I mean, I guess. Honestly, I went to Summer House. I lasted about 5 minutes in Summer House. These people are like cardboard. I don't know how they make such an interesting show together, because their entire panel was like, what? They all talk like this. They have nothing to say. A big part of it was like, Sam, what's with you and Corey? And she's like,
well, I think like Corey, and we're like together, but then like we're not, because it's like, Corey, you're going to like commit.
And then Maya, what do you think? And Maya's just like, I never deliver cookies. I was like, I can't take this. These are like fundamentally uninteresting people. I have no idea how they edit them together to be so entertaining on this show. But it's like, it's magic, I'm telling you. Anyway, the point is, was Wes there?
Yeah.
No idea. I have no idea.
I was just trying to hatch a theory that if he was at BravoCon, that's probably where he first got his real taste.
You're right.
Of like,
that was November, right?
That timeline would work out properly, because that was early November. And then by December, like, now the bug is in him, and so I don't know if he was there or not. And I just tried to do some research right now, and I couldn't find anything. But if he was there, it would make sense. But either way, he's basically like, you know, for example, I skipped ahead there. So Andy was like, I think I'm lost, actually. I think I'm officially lost in this. Andy says, did you want to kind of separate yourself from her because you knew the show would be airing and that you're going to be getting a lot of opportunities elsewhere? And like, was that part of it? He goes, no, but I think like how I was going to navigate this, it like certainly would be much harder taking someone else's feelings into consideration, which is, what is that supposed to mean? You're basically saying like, yeah, there is going to be a lot of vagina coming my way, and I don't want to have to choose between this like goddess of a woman and like my urge at 2 a.m. at closing hour at a band event.
I think what shocked me the most is that he literally just admitted it. He was like, yes.
Yeah.
I'm on television.
He's like,
and
I have
an influx of vaginas, and that's it. Why would I not do that? At least I'm a good enough person to break up with somebody before I engage in that. I mean, I thought it was bizarre that he just admitted, like, bro, you're on TV. You need to be lying about this stuff. I mean, I almost applaud that he was this honest, but it's just stupid. Just be like, no, listen, we were together. Yeah. We had a great time. I just never felt the chemistry and felt that love feeling. That's it. Why would you come on and be honest? What is wrong with you?
He's basically like, I've never been able to participate in tall privilege, and this is the closest I've gotten to it, and I kind of want to cash it in.
Well, this is so true. Like, and, you know, this is something else we say all the time on this show, and it's people like West, but West is just one in a long line of men on this show, like Austin, like Shep, like, let me think, Schwartz, Sandoval, all these guys. They're mediocre. They are just mediocre people who never, ever would have this chance without the power of being on TV. So you give a mediocre person this kind of power, and of course they all lose it. They go crazy. They cannot handle the power. You know, it's a typical villain story. You give the nerd too much power right in the beginning, and then they just end up becoming crazy and just killing everybody with kryptonite or whatever, you know?
Yeah, so then he even says, for example, like, I've done a couple of watch parties where like fucking people show up and do like whatever, and that's like pictures, and it's like the Bravo fan base is like all women, like just these random things that I've like never experienced before.
Yeah. And they're like,
so it's really our fault, by the way.
So Amanda goes, so are you saying there's too many temptations? And he's like, well, not like temptations. It's just like, I mean, it's just like a shitty look if I go to these watch parties with women, right? And Amanda goes, Kyle does it all the time. Kyle's off on lover of boy events, hugging women and kissing babies, and I'm happy at home. Like, we have an understanding. Amanda. Kyle is a cheater. Oh, yes. Kyle is cheating on you, you fucking idiot. Do you even watch the show that you're on? The fact that Amanda can sit here and snipe at people like she's the first lady is fucking hilarious to me. Nuts.
No, they totally have an understanding, though. To be fair, they have an understanding, which is that Kyle can stay out till as late as he wants at the Loverboy things, and she's totally chill about
it. She doesn't mind when he's up at 4 in the morning every single night getting wasted with strangers at all. Amanda loves it. So just let her sit here and lecture you with her eyes for the rest of the episode. What the fuck are you talking about, Amanda? Get out of here.
To be fair, though, Amanda is actually correct here, because Wes is basically like, he's trying to actually, in a weird way, put it onto Sierra. Like, oh, but like, if I'm with Sierra, but I'm hanging out with women, then like, people are going to kind of like get mad at me and start up rumors maybe. Or, like, I think that's what he's trying to imply. And she's like, no, it's a publicity event. Just go. It's not a big deal. And so Wes is like, but would everyone be as chill about it as you? Which is almost suggesting that Sierra would be like deranged about it. And Paige is like, listen, stupid, we're the wrong group to say that to because we've all done this, so we're not your audience for that one. She's like, we've been doing this for a long time, so don't tell us about how this works.
Well, we know also, how it works. Everyone doesn't look at it as like, oh my God, I have to go to these things, then I have to fuck all the people. Like, West is literally like, I'm going to fan events and people are throwing themselves at me, so of course I'm going to fuck them. Like, I can't be with somebody when there's all that temptation around. Like, babe, it's like the typical imbalance of power type situation. You shouldn't be going to these fucking drunk fans anyway, you weirdo. You shouldn't do that. Like,
yeah,
is anybody gonna say that? Like, what the hell, bro, weirdo.
Yeah. And Amanda's like, look, you know, our fan base is actually quite respectful. Just listen to Ben and Ronnie and watch what happens. They're very respectful to us. And like, also
lovers.
Look, they're so kind. But she's like, you know, maybe you get a few nudes in the DMs, but like, no one at the publicity events is really gonna be hitting on
you. That's not true.
Which I think that there will be people. That's not true.
Come on.
But Wes cannot act like he is like some I'm bereft, too many people hitting on me. Sir, it's called having some self-control.
Yeah, but for Wes, it's like being considered hot for the first time. So, you know. Yeah. So he's like, yeah, and then another thing we talked about at the dinner too, maybe like, I don't know, like you could call it narcissistic or something, but I was starting to get like, I mean, everything that we were tagged in or posted about or whatever, it was like Sierra and the newbie, and I didn't like, oh, so now you're jealous because she's been on the show longer and you don't like being seen as somebody's little boy toy? Nobody knows who you are, and nobody would have been posting pictures of you at all at this point because you weren't on TV yet. You needy, sad,
and then
little fuck. What is wrong with you?
And then he goes, so Paige is like, and you didn't like that? Like, and he goes, well, I just was like, am I going to be just some fucking dude who came onto the show and is just Sierra's puppet the whole time? Like, I don't know. And Paige goes, that would be a very lucky spot.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, Paige. This is why I love Paige. Like, I've always loved her since the day she came on this show. I love these moments that she has. And she's 100% correct. Where does he get this notion that he's going to be Sierra's puppet? And could you please just, like, tend to your fragile masculinity at this moment right now? You should be so lucky to be her puppet.
Yeah, and usually someone has to be with somebody, they have to like be famous first for this conversation to even happen. You know what I mean? Like, if there's two actors, there's probably always that conversation or like that maybe lingering jealousy of like, you're doing better in your career than me or whatever. You know, you hear about stuff like that all the time. But you're some D-lister on Summer House and you're brand new and you haven't even done shit yet. And you're already like, I'm not just Sierra's boyfriend. I'm the unemployed guy with teenager hair and a mustache that I never trim on Summer House. Like, oh, wow.
But what is this puppet issue? What is this puppet grievance he's talking about in the first place? Why would we think that he's her puppet?
I think he's saying he doesn't want to be just somebody's arm candy. Like, he's his own person. His character on the show isn't just like Sierra's little boyfriend, you know?
Literally, like, makes no sense. Honestly, this line of thinking makes no sense to me why he would ever think that.
You know, so, it makes perfect sense to me, actually. I mean, I actually understand exactly what he's saying. My reaction to this is inside voice. I mean, it's just such a weird stream of insecurity that people wouldn't say out loud.
I don't think it's insecurity. I think it's an attempt to justify his fuckboy behavior. I think he's looking for anything. He's looking to try to like whip up some sort of insecurity. I think he sort of like mangled his words through this stupidity right here. And he doesn't, he's just trying to find something and it doesn't make any sense. No one would think that he's a puppet. There's nothing, there's no indication, there's no power imbalance in their relationship like that. It's not like she's bossing him around or something like that. Like it would just literally like it just makes no sense. I'm such a strange angle to take. I'm not saying any of this from a place of like exonerating him. I'm saying like do better. Yeah,
but do better with your psychology. He's telling us exactly who he is. Like he's just saying, he's like, well, yeah, because I wanted to. I mean, it's like, I'm going to get laid. Like, what do you want? I just, it's so interesting. It's fascinating to me to see somebody just come on and be this honest. It's weird.
What he's, I think what actually, maybe what it really is when he says, I'm afraid of being viewed as Sierra's puppet. He's saying, I'm afraid people will see me on Instagram and think that like, I just do whatever Sierra does and I'm totally off limits, but the truth is I'm totally on limits and I want to fuck everyone that comes to these events.
That's what I think he means. He's saying like, I don't want to be seen as her little boy toy, you know? I don't know why he said the word puppet, but real weird guy. And you know, there's so many layers to this weirdness. I mean, I know that while the show is going on, you're not supposed to be doing press and being like, oh yeah, you know, it looks like on the show I'm dating Sierra, but it didn't work out. Like he can't say that, right? But he really was leading people on in interviews and stuff to believe that he was still dating Sierra. It's just weird. It's like he was trying to keep the good cred of being Sierra's boyfriend this whole time going, even knowing by the time it aired what he did and that he's going to be considered a big shithead. You see what I mean? Like he was trying, he was really working to keep up the good guy cred so he could get laid and laid and laid all the way up until this reunion aired. It's pretty sick.
How about Bravo pitching West as this fan favorite, sort of like this guy who's not like the tall, hot guy. He's just like an everyman kind of dude, pitching this to the New York Times and pushing a story to have the New York Times write about West, like America's new favorite, and West and Sierra, everyone loves West and Sierra, knowing full well that Wes is a fuckboy and that this is going to come out at the reunion. That is, I mean, talk about wild. I mean, talk about a network just fucking around with the audience there.
Hello, it's Bravo, darling. It's Bravo.
Yeah, I mean, New York Times got the most was the New York Times by Bravo. Bravo set up the New York Times.
The New York Times gave like up standards so long ago. Like, I can't even with a Tom Sandoval and now a West article. Come on, guys. Are you even trying anymore? Come on. You're the New York Times, for fuck's sake. Have some self-respect.
So Kyle's like, I think that West overthought the show part about this and did not think about the relationship. And Sierra's like, I actually think you use the show as an excuse because I think you have a commitment thing. And I think it was all like an easy cop out to use the show as an excuse for just kind of nixing the whole thing.
Didn't want to be in a relationship. Like, that's it. He didn't want to be in it. He's an asshole for leading you on. This guy's a total piece of shit, but everyone's trying to come up with all these reasons that he did what he did. Was it a fear of commitment? He doesn't have a fear of commitment. He does not want to. I don't think it's a fear. The guy literally just does not. He's going to keep getting it as long as he can get it. And that's it. You don't need to come up with excuses for him.
Yeah.
He's a fuckboy. Let's not try and give him any kind of like deeper meaning to it that we can all feel for him and feel bad for him. He's a piece of shit. He has no regard for anybody else's feelings. Don't fuck this guy.
Yeah. And so Wes talked about how his parents gave him a lot of shit for doing this. And, you know, for like, you know, dumping Sierra and everything. And Sierra starts to like choke up. And Paige is like, you know what?
Ciara really liked Wes, and I don't think people realize how sensitive and sweet she is. And the whole week leading up to this, she said, I don't want to cry in front of him. And I said, but it's real, and you're vulnerable. And no matter how much you cry, you'll still look better than Danielle. Sorry, still going to do it. Sorry, Danielle. It's just
no one's eyes.
You know, when you got low hanging fruit.
Even if you've been crying for 9 years, no one's eyes are puffier than Danielle's. So.
you know the expression, like, you know, low hanging fruit? It's really like a low hanging cornucopia at this point. Just everything. It's just so easy with Danielle. So easy.
Oh, God. So then we move on to, so basically we're talking about how he brought her home to the family. And Jesse's like, yeah, Bruce loved her. Bruce is the dad, I guess. And Wes is like, yeah, well, my mom's in medicine and my dad's into horses. So she's basically the perfect woman to them. Mm-hmm. And he seemed annoyed while he was talking about that, right? And he's like, yeah, like they loved her. Like,
yeah.
My dad was, my dad even more than my mom. And like, he voiced concerns about my lack of commitment and dating history, and they're the first two people to give me anxiety from this whole experience.
Yeah. And so then Ciara winds up saying, look, I'm not out here sleeping with whoever. I'm actually a lot more guarded and reserved for a reason. Like, I don't want to give myself to everyone, and I really don't. And you guys can disagree and call me old school, traditional, or whatever. It's just like, I don't have the capacity to spread myself so thin. So I think it's like an important step. Yeah. And I'm cautious for a reason.
Good for her. She's crying, and I just love this. And I love this about her. And that's what makes me hate West the most, is that, I talk about how he's being so honest about what a douchebag he is and no one's listening, but she's been really honest about how she is too. And you just totally took everything she told you and you were like, fuck you. And you did it to her anyway. That's why you're a piece of shit. Cause she told you all of this in the very beginning. She told you that she's not just out there fucking everybody. She told you she doesn't believe in hookup culture. She told you that for her to have sex, it has to be something really important. And you just shit all over it. Like, sir, that's not just you having the freedom to do whatever you want. Cause of course you do. That's just you having a complete disregard for someone's feelings and just doing it for what? For airtime? I mean, you're an absolute piece of fucking garbage, sir. Terrible.
And when we say that she's like so out of your league, it's because she's beautiful. Because, I mean, she is. But it's more that like she just is of just better fabric than you. Like she just has so much more character. And, we've really seen her grow and see her really understand what she wants, what she doesn't want out of a relationship over all these years. And she's really developed into like a really pretty amazing person, I think, on this show. I think that she really does know what she wants now. And she was, like you said, very vocal about it. And you should be so lucky to be with someone with that sense of self-possession. And you really screwed up. You really screwed the pooch on this one.
So, Andy's like, so if he had said, look, I think you're incredibly beautiful. We have a great vibe. I want to do fun things. I want to hang out, but I can't commit. What would you have done? And she's like, I gave him the out after horseback riding when cameras went down. And we went to the car and I told him, if you want to cut back because this show's going to air and you're going to get a lot of attention, I totally get it. You should go do you. And he said no. So it just gets worse.
That's what I was talking about all the way at the top of this. 10 hours ago when we started this, that's what I was talking about. That like this was an exit for her, but like it was an exit for him too. And he still decided to go down this path. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's pretty obnoxious. It's really terrible what people feel like they have the liberty to do to other people with their emotions. So that, she talks about how she did all these things, weddings, brother's house, family, go to Missouri or whatever, And Andy's like, so do you feel led on? No, she's very happy with the situation, Andy. Thanks for the question.
Sometimes I just, Andy, hello, are you awake? So Jess, do you watch this show? Do you even watch this?
Jesse Solomon, a voice in the darkness, tries to clarify the situation. He goes, I don't think what he did was perfect, but he was just trying to figure it out. And to be in a relationship, you have to love someone and be 100%. And he was exploring, and maybe it took a little too far, but he was trying. He didn't cheat on her. It was just there were two people that were really good together and a great time, but it just didn't work out. And Sarah goes, shut up, Jesse. Because this is different. It's one thing to explore whatever. That's what relationships are about. But He takes her down the path that really looks and feels like a relationship, and then all of a sudden puts the brakes on it for some bullshit reasons that he can't even articulate on the show, on the reunion, which and the bullshit reason is more just like, oh, I'm going to be famous soon, and I want to take advantage of that. Well, you could have done that before you start playing with this lady's right. heart.
So Paige just goes, the bar is so low for men, which, I mean, is true. I mean, look how far Craig's gotten. So Sierra's like literally shut the fuck up, Jesse. Cause you know what? Like I told all fucking summer how intentional I was. And you know, then I get shit on for being guarded and cold. And then you called me cold to people, West. And West goes, who? And she's like, yeah, you called me cold to fucking Kyle or something. Oh, fucking Kyle. This is Kyle. Of course, Kyle immediately is like, well, he called you cold. So it's just one of the bros. Just one of the bros, guys. God, such a little fucking tattletale.
Yeah,
too.
Which this is that goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's like, see, guys like West and other fuckboys on this show are what make people want to be more guarded, and then they get accused of being cold. So she's like, well, of course I go no contact. You know, I stop talking to you altogether. You're like, fuck yeah. Because like to think that's so mean, like to take like that's so mean to take someone to your parents' house, like you want to sleep with them, you have no intention of doing anything. You want to sleep with me all fucking summer, and you know how careful I was being and how intentional I was moving and how cautious I was being, yet you got everything you want out of me, and I got literally the bare minimum.
So Jesse is like, yeah, I mean, maybe it wasn't the best way I did it, but you know, like I don't know that it wasn't wrong how it ended, really. And Paige then just lays a monologue out that
Paige is like, I'll take it from here. Everyone, I'll take it from here. Does anyone? Okay, everyone just like take five. I'll take over from here. Okay, great.
Go for it.
Look, no one is faulting you. That like you came on the show. It was about to air. It's women viewers. They're gonna love the new guys. You're all memes. There's so many DMs. We get the allure of that. But we are also her friend, so we also see the allure of her in a way that Danielle does not understand the allure of, I don't know, putting an ensemble together properly. Sorry, had to do it.
I like listening to you do it. The whole thing.
Okay, I was giving you an unranked to take over Paige, so but I'll keep on going.
You do it. You don't get that much Paige. You don't get to
no,
do
I,
that
I, Paige. I enjoy your Paige as well. I like it's an equal Paige opportunity. But anyway, I shall continue, just like Danielle continues to look terrible on reunions. Okay, I mean, you'd be blind not to see the allure of that. So we couldn't understand how the fame and like the lights and the camera were so much more enticing than like your real life. Like we like live our real lives and then there's a camera. We don't live our real lives because there's a camera. Sick burn. Okay. Does anyone want to like, you know, make that into a meme for the internet? Because that was a really good moment. Okay. Twitter, anyone? Okay.
So when she's like, yeah, look, we had two people having the worst summers of their lives. And you're in the group chat being like, oh, wow, you guys, this is the best season of the show. It's fucking amazing. And we're like, two people's lives are falling apart. A young person with promise and an elderly woman who has nothing ahead of her falling apart. Look at her, brittle, completely fall. I would shake her right now, except her shoulder would probably crack. And I wouldn't even do that to my worst old woman enemy. So sorry there, old person. Do you need a blanket? I will get you a blanket.
Are we talking about Carla Lindsay? Or are we talking about Danielle and her stylist? Who will never be hired again.
Danielle's hair is as brittle as Lindsay's arm, is what I'm trying to say. I forgot what I was talking about, but I think I made my point. And Sierra's like, yeah, your spatial awareness is off. And everyone's just nodding. And she basically eviscerated this guy in the nicest, most polite way. I've never seen anybody get eviscerated. Yeah. She just ripped him down to the studs. I loved it.
Yep.
And I love that I can disagree with her so many times and still agree with her. I mean, I really do love this show. You know, it's fun to be referee, try and play referee on this show because it's just so wackadoo sometimes. But she called it.
It's been such a good season. It's been such a good season, I have to say. Like, I thought last season was really rough on Summer House. And, well, except for, I mean, actually, there were some parts, obviously, that were good. But, like, last season was so, there were so many just, like, let's have a party. And, like, this season was just, ooh, it's been so good. So, we have, I'm assuming it's a three-part reunion. I don't know. So we'll have more of this later this week. Thanks, everyone, for being here for 2.5 hours worth of recapping. Unbelievable.
Not really, but wow.
I can't believe it.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We Forever Love Ava.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rochelle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Peyton, it's happening. We're finally being recognized for being very online.
It's about damn time. I mean, it's hard work being this opinionated.
And correct.
You're such a Leo.
All the time. So if you're looking for a home for your worst opinions,
if you're a hater first and a lover of pop culture second,
then join me, Hunter Harris,
and me, Peyton Dix, the host of Wondery's newest podcast, Let Me Say This.
As beacons of truth and connoisseurs of mess, we are scouring the depths of the internet so you don't have to.
We're obviously talking about the biggest gossip and celebrity news.
Like, it's not a question of if Drake got his body done, but when.
You are so messy for that, but we will be giving you the B-sides, don't you worry. The deep cuts, the niche, the obscure.
Like that one photo of Nicole Kidman after she finalized her divorce from Tom Cruise.
Mother, a mother to many. Follow Let Me Say This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to episodes everywhere on May 22nd, or you can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app on Apple Podcasts.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.